frustrated you're adding? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I'll never be the same. Never, 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 I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated. Now, I just want to say something to all of us right here, right now. We're pretty casual on a Wednesday night, but the Word of God is still vital, and it's still all powerful. Amen. Don't care if you come in short pants and slippers. The Word of God is all powerful. Now, I just want you to know something else. Faith is great, and you have to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen. And this is a faith church, and we preach and teach on faith. Amen. But let me tell you what, faith is not enough. Oh, blasphemy. No, not blasphemy. Faith without work is dead. You can have all the faith in the world. I know people that have sat in churches like this. Now remember, faith comes how? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Is that right? So you're getting faith right now. You're going to hear the Word of God. You're getting faith. But then the Bible says in James, says faith without works is dead. So there are people sitting in churches that have got dead faith. Dead faith. People that are sick, broke, miserable, going through divorces, all kinds of things, because they don't know how to step out and release their faith. You've got to release your faith, and faith is released out of your mouth. You speak what the Word of God says, and then you act it, you live it. He says, believe you receive it when you pray, then you will have it. So I've got to live like I've got it when I've prayed before I've got it. Amen. So, and we know the scriptures where the two men, the Bible says that they both heard. The first man, he said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you're like the man who built his house on a rock. He dug deep and he built his house on the rock. And when the storms came and the wind blew and the rain fell, the house stood because it was founded on a rock. But he that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. Now, notice this, they both heard. Remember this, they both heard, that means they both got faith, because faith comes by hearing. And so they both heard, they both had faith. One did what he heard, it was like building his house on a rock. The other didn't do what he heard, it was like building his house on the sand, the Bible says. And the storms came and the wind blew and the rain fell and the house crashed and great was the fall thereof. But they both heard, they both had faith. But only one did what they heard. God said, Jesus said in that parable, he said, those that hear and do are like the man. Those that hear and don't do have built on the sand. And so you will find in churches today, certain people get healed. And you think, now why did they get healed and that other one didn't? Could it be? Come on. And we've got to locate ourselves. See, this is a church that puts a challenge out there. You've got to locate yourself and take responsibility for your own life. Amen. So locate yourself. Now, I want to talk to us tonight. This is the second part, I believe, of what we started speaking of. This I know, God is for me. This I know, God is for me. Everyone say, this I know, God is for me. Now, here's the question you got to ask yourself. Is God for me? Now, it's easy to say, yes, He is, when you're sitting in church and you've got air conditioning and everything's hunky-dory, you're not facing any situations right now. But when you leave these doors, you get home and you find out the mail, they're coming for the money tomorrow and I haven't got it. Is God still for you? Come on now. When this, the doctor says, I'm sorry, the report, you better sit down. Can you still say, God is for me, this I know? You understand? When the husband or the wife comes in and hands you the papers, can you stand there and say, I know God is for me? You see, it's easy to say it in an air-conditioned room where everyone's praising God and worshiping God together and there's no situation right here, right now. But when you're on your own, 2 o'clock in the morning, and sickness tries to attack your body, can you stand up and still say, this I know God is for me? So now you got to locate yourself. Don't be like sheeple. God said we are like sheep, but sheep will just say what everyone else says. Speak truth. Amen. Here's the challenge being thrown out to you now. Or I can just preach a nice message, how beautiful you look, and we can go home. And you know what you learned? Nothing. You know what it's going to accomplish in your life? Nothing. So I send out a challenge there. God uses me to bring a challenge to you to locate where you're at. And then you say, oh my goodness, I have been doing that wrong. Ooh. Amen. So come to church, expect to be challenged, expect to walk out here and think. We need you to think and take that word that you got, chew it, mull on it, meditate on it, regurgitate it, get it in your spirit, listen to it again, watch it on the computer. Just keep getting it in, until the light goes on. God is for me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So is God for me? And you've got to believe that He is for you. Say, God is for me. He's not against me. Now, it's easy to say it, like air conditioning, everyone's happy, it's a cool night. But when the attack comes, can you stand there and say that? You understand? There's a big difference. And you know what? I don't want us to act all church and these kind of people, religious kind of people, and yes, man, no man. I mean, seriously, think about this. Think about it. Am I up to the challenge when it hits? Because if I'm not, then there's something I can learn tonight that's going to help me. When things are going right, God is for you. When things are going bad, God is for you. When things are indifferent, God is for you. When you didn't pray enough, God is for you. When you sinned, God is for you. When you told the lie, God is still for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you, and His love is never going to go away from you. Can you say amen? So God is not against you. He is for you.
Amen.
Say it. Say, God is not against me. He is for me. When the Philistines, remember we spoke about it, captured David. They captured King David. He wasn't king yet. He had been anointed, but he hadn't been appointed yet. He was appointed by God, but not by the high priest who had been in the kingdom. And so David was captured by the Philistines. And look what he writes in Psalm 56. Psalm 50, you've got to get this now. Psalm 56, verse 9. When I cry unto you, first of all, you need to know where to cry. Turn to me, for I am God, and there is no other. That's what he says, Isaiah 45. So he says, when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. Wow, this guy's chased, he's hiding in caves, they all want to kill him, and he says, I know God is for me. My enemies will turn back. Why? Because God is for me. Sickness will get off my body. Why? Because God is for me. Fear will come out of my life. Why? Because God is for me. My children will get off drugs. I get off addictions. Why? Because God is for me. And then you've got to add these together. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And that same one that's greater in me is for me.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And we learned a lot of stuff growing up that God's out to get you. That was my upbringing. God's out to get you. Jim, did you get that? God's going to get you. You step out of line, He's going to nail you. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I heard the Ten Commandments nonstop. Thou shalt not, thou better not, and if thou doest. That's all I heard growing up. My dad, every time something went wrong, he'd get a shock. He'd put down the whatever gave him the shock, and he'd say, it's the will of God. I thought, wow, this is one mean God that my dad loves. Really? And then it took years before I heard, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Loved, what are you talking about? That's why they killed Jesus.
Amen.
Because He came And he introduced God as Father, not robe, judicial robe judge. He now comes and says, when you pray a prayer like this, our Father, my Father in heaven has great joy. And he started introducing God as a Father. They couldn't handle it. They were so religious and so steeped in tradition that they could not handle it and they hated him. Amen. Amen. Don't ever be like that. God, say it again, God is for me. So he says here, David says, when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. I love that. This I know. I know God is for me. But I got all the scabs and the x-ray shows the break. I know God is for me. They're towing my car away. Any of you ever had a car repossessed? I did in South Africa. Wasn't a good feeling seeing it go down the road, right? I didn't stand there and say, woohoo, God is for me. But I didn't know what I know now. Amen. Come on. Amen. Short sale. Any of you go through that? Amen. You know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. Yeah, it wasn't nice. But you're learning something now that can turn those situations around. Right. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. What the enemy means for your destruction. What he means for your destruction in Romans 8:26 through 28. The Bible says, if you cling to God, and you let the Holy Spirit pray with and through you to the Father, the perfect will of God. He says, what the enemy means for your destruction, he will turn for your good. Amen. Turn for your good. So now all of a sudden they tow your car away, but you still owed another 9,000 easy payments. Right? And it was now a skedonk. You know, it's almost being held together with God stickers. Have you seen those cars? They're being held together with God stickers. I serve a great God. Katong, katong, katong. That's not a good sign. That's not a good advertisement. It's good to still love God. But you know what I'm saying? And now all of a sudden, you get a car at a tenth of the cost, paid off in one month, 2 months, and you're driving a nice car. God can do these things. You got to know that God is for you. So who are your enemies and where do they come from? Because he says, when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. Your enemies, I want to show you. Satan, the chief enemy of a glorious destiny. When the enemy attacks, he brings all this mayhem and all this chaos, but he does not have the authority to make you fall, to make you sin. He'll bring the temptation, but you don't have to yield to it. He'll bring sickness, but you don't have to yield to it. Oh, what are you talking about? He'll bring fear, but you don't have to yield to it. He'll bring anger and hatred, but you don't have to yield to it. Oh, that's hard. Pastor, you don't understand. You just don't know. I know. I go through the same things. My biggest one was impatience. And my prayer used to be, Father, give me patience and give it to me now. That's the way I prayed. I'm not joking. And then every person on the planet would get in front of me in the drive-thru. Everybody. Or it would be one person and they'd buy for the country. And God, what's he doing? He's teaching me patience. Lord, please help me to get patience so I can be more relaxed and not go through what I have to go through. And I find myself talking to a red light. Stupid light change. And God's saying, but you prayed for patience. I'm giving you opportunity to get it. You see, you know what I'm saying? And you pray to be loving, gentle, and kind. And what happens is Mr. Sandpaper is your office next to you. Have you ever met Mr. Sandpaper or Mrs. Sandpaper? I know them. I know those people. They file you nice. Amen? So you're going like a rough diamond, but you come out smooth and shiny. Or you can come out messed up. Your decision. So when it comes at you, I have the decision, I have the authority, and I have the power. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, he says, right? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I can choose to let go and let it all hang out, or I can choose to say, nope, I'm not going to be affected by this. God is for me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com. Or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility. Located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34987.